CliffCentral.com.
I know you're excited as I am to talk to Hanan about what's going on in the world. It's going to be okay is what we call this. Dr. Hanan Bushkin, he's a renowned psychologist, head of the Anxiety and Trauma Clinic in Joburg. And if you have an issue or a conflict or something that you'd like to unpack, try and resolve, you want to join us live, then send us an email, please. Contact at cliffcentral.com. So we got Caleb on. He's got to get to work shortly, so we've got to talk to him and Hanan immediately. So let's go to them. Caleb, you and Dr. Hanan, give it a go. You introduce yourself to Dr. Hanan and then tell him what you wanted to talk about today.
Hi, Dr. Hanan.
Hello, Caleb.
I'm good. So I've struggled with manic bipolar for a while. You definitely know what that is. And maybe just to give context, you know, to everybody out there, is I think the first thing is it's sort of, there's a kind of terror involved in this kind of madness, you know. When you're on the high side, you'd know, Dr. Hanan, it's tremendous. The ideas and feelings are fast and they're frequent. They're like shooting stars and you follow them until you find better and brighter ones. Shyness goes, you become this amazing, confident human being. There are interesting things that you find in uninteresting places. But then the ideas start to become a bit too fast, and there are far too many overwhelming. Confusion replaces clarity. Memory goes. Humor and absorption on friends and faces are replaced by fear and frightened and uncontrollable concern. It will never end in that particular space when you get into that. Hmm. And I think the biggest challenge is when you're on the mania side, you're not aware sometimes, you know. I remember before I handed over to you, Dr. Hanan, walking into my then superior's office. She was married with three kids, and her husband was at the time, I think, the former vice captain of the Namibia rugby team, and I was still living there. And I said to her, "You look absolutely smashing tonight. Would you like to come to my apartment and have a good..." And I had no idea. And 3 weeks later, I spent, I think, $2,400 on buying things I didn't need or I didn't want or I already have. and it's fun when you're on the high side. And people always said in the kind of job that I had at the time that, oh, you're creative. When you're running an event, it's always amazing. And there's a decreased need for sleep. But when then you go onto the depression side, you don't wish it on your worst enemy. Even somebody who supports Manchester United, you don't want them to go on that side, no matter how much you don't like the team, because it's terrible. You even light will disturb you. You want to wear shades, close all the curtains, and go under your blanket. Yeah, just to give context on what that is. But I'm happy to say it's been an interesting journey.
Yeah, so let me mention a couple of things to people, to the ones that are listening and don't know what bipolar disorder is. So bipolar disorder is actually, it's not a joke. It's the most, probably one of the most recognizable and certainly researched mental health conditions or disorders out there. It's been documented in 400 BC by Hippocrates, the Greek philosopher. It's where he noticed extreme highs and extreme lows in people. And people think it's funny, but it's actually such a debilitating disorder. So initially it was called manic depressive or manic depression, and then they changed it to bipolar. So the reason why they're called manic depression is because it's got the two parts, the mania part, which is the extreme high, which I'll describe in a second, and the depression side. Now they call it bipolar. The two poles, the manic pole and the depression pole. And the manic pole, there are a couple of categorization for bipolar, but the manic pole in what we call type 1 bipolar is extreme. So Caleb, what you describe is very, very synonymous with mania. People think mania is, it's, you know, people are confident and they're fun and they are confident and fun, but it's the extreme. I've had a manic patient that went out and maxed out his credit card at Hi-Fi Corporation because he thought he was going to open the world's largest electronics store. I had people max out their credit card at the casino because they had a divine intervention and believe that the roulette is going to land on black. I've had people throw away their kids' tuition on absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
And the problem with mania is that society rewards it. Yeah. We've all had those friends that are super fun and super crazy and, oh my God, you're manic, but they're fun and work rewards it too because you're super creative. And the truth is people that suffer from mania, which is the upper side of bipolar, don't even seek treatment because they feel confident. They feel that they can take over the world. They feel incredibly inspired. And the society rewards them for it because they're surrounded with this incredible energy. But the moment they become destructive, they start losing their jobs. They're a nightmare to their partners. They're a nightmare to their parents. They're a nightmare to their kids. They're a nightmare to law enforcement because they just don't care because they feel that they're above everything out there and above the law. That's when they seek help. The depressive side is really debilitating too. These are the people that don't want to get out of bed, don't want to engage with the world. They cover themselves with a duvet and don't get out. And in combination with the manic and the depressive episode, people actually dysfunction. It's not a way to engage the world because you have such extreme highs, which you feel on top of the world, and you have such extreme lows where you actually cannot function. But it's a dysfunctional high, and it's an incredibly dysfunctional low. And the way we manage these people, I'm sure you've had that too, Caleb, is with medication. So yeah. You go on medication to regulate the highs and to regulate the lows. That allows you to function a little bit. And yeah. Manic people don't like the medication because it dampens, yeah.
Sorry, I can relate to that because I've had times when you don't like the medication because it mellows you out and you start to feel a little bit uninteresting. You start to feel a little bit less confident. And I went for 3 days here where I live in Kurdistan without taking my Epitec, for those who are familiar with lamotrigine, and I'm on 200. You would know, Dr. Hanan, what I mean by that. And I woke up twice in a row at 2 a.m. This is Kurdistan, and if you know where I'm talking about in the world, signed out of this compound that we live in and went for a 4.5K run because I was listening to the show and I was getting encouraged by God Laws and Ben and Bulelo on their fitness journey, and I wanted to get back. And I didn't know until the guy I lived with came to me and said, dude, your key card swapped at 2:30 a.m. Our curfew is midnight. Where were you and what were you doing? And there I was on the camera in my full gym clothes thinking that it's 5 a.m. And fortunately, that didn't end badly, but it can get to places where, yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing. Like when you experience mania, the ability to kind of assess consequence goes out the window. The ability to play out 4 steps ahead, which is an adult thing to do, goes out the window. So you just live in the here and now and you feel that there's no consequence to your action. A lot of people really get, there are no consequences, and a lot of people get really badly hurt, and not just physically hurt, but they lose their jobs, they lose their marriages, they lose terrible relationships when they hit those highs, for sure.
Is it correct to call Caleb a maniac? No, I mean, because that's where the word comes from, obviously. But you guys don't call, you psychologists and psychiatrists wouldn't call him a maniac. I mean, that's just a word we use now, because I think this has got to do with how people don't take mania as seriously as they take depression. We kind of understand a little more about depression than we do about mania, Dr. Hanan. I mean, certainly, you know, I'll say to someone, after they, you know, if they're behaving like really crazily at a party or they're doing insane stuff, oh, you maniac. But you wouldn't say to a depressed person, oh, you depro, you know. you understand what I mean?
No, it's so true. And it's much easier for society to recognize a depressed person because there's been so much, you know, media around it and awareness than it is to recognize a person who's in manic behavior.
Yeah, sure. And Leanne, the thing is that mania is way more socially accepted. I'm sure Gareth and Leanne, I mean, you've partied with people that go through mania and they're the best fun. They're absolutely the best fun. They don't want to leave the party. They throw jokes. They're incredibly creative. They want to just go on and on and on. They're incredibly fun. And you wouldn't leave a party with a manic person going, oh my God, that was boring. You go, oh my God, then I've got stories for days. So society is much more accepting of the manic episode than the depressive episode, because the depressive episode is not, it's not fun to be around a depressive. it's incredibly fun to be around a manic, for sure.
But Dr. Hanan, I think one of the reasons why it's also socially desirable when you're manic, it's because inherently as human beings, we're intrinsically selfish. So when you're around a manic person, it makes you feel good. The reason why we love nurses is because they care about us and not the other way around. And I remember a couple wouldn't get married if I wasn't flying down to Zimbabwe to be their master of ceremony at their wedding, because they had me do a speech once and they're like, dude, we're not getting married if you're not coming. And I think the biggest challenge for me has been on the relationship side, romantically, because you meet somebody and things are going well, and then you get to a point where you have to be open with them, because lying is not only telling lies, but it's also withholding the truth. And you have to say, look, I can go a little bit crazy. And the first thing they think about is, ooh, when you go crazy, I'm going to probably be in harm's way, but it's not the case. And to answer Gareth's question, I think the biggest way maybe to describe us is an unquiet mind. That's what Kay Redfield describes it as in her book, which she wrote, In Quiet Mind, A Memo for Moods and Madness. And I think that's the basic description, where, like, for me, basically, I either have to sleep at 11 and wake up at 5, or I sleep at 12 and wake up at 6. If I mess with that routine, I'm in trouble.
So can I ask a question here, because I really don't know a lot about this, but is it possible to be manic, Dr. Hanan, in episodes, but not have the depressive parts of it? In other words, that you tend to have these manic episodes, but your down is kind of a zero rather than a minus.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Actually, that's called mania. Okay. So that's when you diagnose there's with mania, but it's not functional. And again, in these people, it's so difficult to find these people, because they don't come for therapy. They're censured by broken marriages and by broken bosses and by broken relationship with kids. That's how they censure therapy.
I think I might be one of those people, because I do have these manic episodes. No, seriously. I listening to Caleb's description, it was like, oh, holy shit, I know what's going on here.
And it's a challenge when you live alone, Gareth, because I only got to find that because I had people around me that cared and said, dude, I think there's something going on here. And
how do you know if it's a problem? How do you know if it's a problem, though? Because we might all be sitting there, just like you've discussed this before with us, Dr. Hanan. There are people who self-diagnose themselves as depressed, and that's not a good thing to do either. So similarly, you don't want to self-diagnose as manic. How do you know if it's a problem?
I mean, ask yourself, Gareth, when I look around my world, my career, my financial security, my relationship with family, friends, romantic relationship, and my health, do I like what I see? Am I living my optimal life? And if the answer is yes, I'm enjoying my career, financial security, family, friends, romantic, and my health, then you're doing pretty well. Okay. So that's your barometer. But if you go, something's broken, something's not working well, it doesn't mean that you're manic, but that means obviously there's some form of inefficiency that's going on in your world. It doesn't mean a mental disorder, but certainly something has to be tweaked. So your barometer is really the external world. And if you're not well enough to actually judge it, ask people that are closest to you. But with mania, what you maybe got to realize is that it's a horrible, horrible situation for the manic patient or the manic person, because suddenly they're the life of the party and they're expected to be the life of the party. Mm-hmm. They're invited everywhere, and the pressure on them to perform and keep on being on that high is incredibly stressful. Incredibly. I have people that are no longer manic, but they have to act manic because that's the only way that they're accepted by their peers and their groups. Because suddenly if they're not fun and spending thousands and hundreds of thousands of rands at the casino, they don't want to be part of, they're not invited anymore. If they're not drinking all the bottles at the bar, they're not invited anymore. If they don't stay at the party until 4 a.m, they're not invited anymore. And even though they, on a psychological, emotional level, feeling fine, they still have to act on that level just to be accepted in that group. Yeah. It's horrible.
It's terrible, and you start to find yourself being excluded. And I think what has caught me going in the last couple of years is three things, basically. I think routine, if there's anybody out there who struggles with it, routine is absolutely important, and to stick to it. And secondly, it's this book, Malcolm Gladwell, where the title is David and Goliath, Underdogs, Misfits, and the Art of Battling Giants, because many of the misfits that we know in the world also struggle with manic bipolar. Winston Churchill, Paul Gascoigne, the former footballer, I think Amy Winehouse, Mariah Carey as well. And the idea there is to always find things that are productive within yourself that intrinsically get you going. So, for example, the rugby refereeing for me, the exercise that necessarily are not hinged on anybody else's approval. Because when you're not the life of the party anymore and they all of a sudden find you horrible. Like, imagine I go on a first date and I'm cracking the best jokes and she's loving it and it's amazing. And then she meets me tomorrow and I can't even tie my own laces because I don't feel like doing anything.
Yeah.
She's not going to come on the next date. I've been told, like, dude, you're such a girl, you know, like you change. And that was before I had to go into an upper echelon of medication and get that going. So it's an interesting dynamic to have. But the highs are amazing if you're not regulating them. But just to end off, I've been told by my doctor that gout is a rich man's problem and bipolar is an intelligence people's curse. So it's not a bad thing at all.
No, it's horrible on their partners. On their partners, it's really, really heavy. I actually see more of the partners than the actual patients that suffer from bipolar because they go through incredible turmoil. They're literally on a roller coaster that they didn't choose to be on. Imagine I put you on a roller coaster that you didn't choose to be on, and not a pleasant one, not a pretty one. That's what partners feel like when they go and they live with people that have mania and depression. It's a ugly, ugly, ugly. It's a very, very stressful roller coaster.
Yeah, I have to run.
All right, Caleb, thanks, man.
It's been good chatting to you guys. And thank you, Dr. Hanan. Hopefully,
pleasure.
Talk to you. Thank you.
There we go.
Bye.
There's your free session. You're lucky we're not charging you for Dr. Hanan today. This is interesting because I don't think we've had much of a discussion around mania before. I don't think many people have. I don't think it gets talked about nearly as much as depression does, as Leanne mentioned. But the things you described there and even the advice that Caleb has got for us as someone who does suffer from this, I think is really, really interesting. And
it's tough.
Yeah.
I also think it's commendable that, you know, Caleb is so aware of his medication. And I don't want to talk about him now that he's gone, but to talk about the medication itself, I've been on it. I was actually incorrectly diagnosed with bipolar disease and disorder. And the medication he's referring to is what epileptics take. And the side effects are really incredible. So not only is the person dealing with their highs and lows and quelling the highs that they might enjoy, they're also dealing with the side effects of the medication. You know, in my case, it made me incredibly violent. So there was that to deal with.
Sure.
You know, it's such a hard thing to tackle. It really is.
Yeah. And by the way, just one more thing. Bipolar is not multiple personality disorder. People confuse the two. It's not having many different personalities, you know. So we throw the term around, oh, you're so bipolar, meaning that you have so many different personalities. It's not that at all.
Right. Good point. Because I think people also, you know, all these amateur psychologists running around diagnosing each other and other people and themselves. It's ridiculous.
Completely.
And just one more question from me on this, Dr. Hanan. Are the two polar opposites of this disorder, do they come in equal measures? Do they come in, in stints of days or weeks or hours? And are they always balanced out by each other or not?
So you get a couple of different diagnoses of bipolar. The three actually, but the two, the major ones we call bipolar 1 and bipolar 2. Bipolar 1 is the more extreme mania and the more extreme depression. And bipolar 2 is the what we call hypomania, which is the lesser of the mania and a depressive episode. So you can have extreme highs and not such highs. But to be honest, out of the hundreds of patients that I've seen with bipolar, they all come and with different highs and different lows. So it is very different. And the cycle can range from weeks to months. Hmm. So that can also be very, very depending on the individual.
I'm afraid that's all we got time for, guys. Thank you, Dr. Hanan. Always good to see you. We'll check in with you next week.
Nice to see you guys.
Very good. CliffCentral.com.